Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what a comeback it was last night. One of the most incredible things that I've witnessed in sports, seen a lot of comebacks, but for Atlanta, this has to be on the top of the list because, again, if we win this series, you've done this now twice, and down 26 in a playoff game on the road, it just doesn't get any bigger than that. Coach Nate is on the way, guys. Coach Nate McMillan's going to join us here in just a few minutes, and we'll pick his brain and find out what he's thinking going into a closeout game, a decisive game six now here at home tomorrow at State Farm Arena. And, Mike, you said this. The roof is
the roof is on fire.
It is going to be bananas, and it should be. I mean, but it's going to have a special feel to it to have an opportunity to close out the Sixers tomorrow night.
Right, and you got standing room only tickets going for a C note. It's going to be electric, and I know the MLK jerseys have been the thing. We know that the court is going to be the MLK court. We're 11-1 wearing those jerseys, and I know Andy and Randy were talking about it with John Collins earlier in the week. So it's just. There's so many good things that are happening, and it's just, I know it's sometimes counterintuitive to an Atlanta sports fan, but as we've been saying for the past couple of weeks, reset your way of thinking about this team. And Trey is a superstar in this league, and Nate is doing a fantastic job. I mean, Carl, so many things have to – I mean, I'm not telling you guys what you don't know, but when you're down 26, and I'm looking back at the chronology of this in the third quarter into the fourth, and just how – and it wasn't like it was like bang, bang, bang. It was like – okay, we'd score, get a couple of stops. But then later, Carl, in the fourth, what was it, 9 consecutive trips down where the Sixers don't score?
They didn't score. That's right.
I mean, look, you could say choke, but we also upped our – look, think about Capella. How much of a lost puppy was Capella in the first half, right?
So, and you're right. I mean, here's the thing for me. In the first half, and I think I said this, and this not – by the way, here's the other part. You can be critical of your team. That doesn't mean you quit or you've given up. So
We love Clint. But no. You know, he was struggling. Embiid is a force of nature for any center or any big man in the Eastern Conference.
So when, you know, I said last night that I don't see anything that I like. There was nothing they were doing that was good. I'm sure Coach Nate McMillan would agree with me in the first half.
Right.
There was nothing good that, as you watched, we turned it over, we weren't hitting shots, we were missing easy bunnies again. And just nothing was good. But that doesn't mean you give up. And that was the note, or at least the message, I think, last night for Hawks fans is, that's fine. That's where we are right now. Let's see where we are at the end of the game. And at the end of the game, we were standing on top with the victory. But you're right, man. I mean, even JC, you know, even John Collins, you know, in the first half. Let's talk to Coach Nate McMillan. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Dukes and Bell. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on an amazing win. I know you feel it. I know you've sensed the energy about what you guys accomplished last night. Now, we know the series is not over, but, Coach, that was one hell of a comeback.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think it's probably one of the – definitely one of the best comebacks I've been a part of. You know, last night we knew it was going to be tough going up, going back to Philadelphia and playing there. And, you know, we got off to a slow start and was able to just stick with it. You know, we kept grinding, you know, stayed together. You know, the defense showed up in the second half again, and we started to make some shots in the second half. And we've always talked about it. It's a 48-minute game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our guys have, you know, put in the work, and they continue to put in the work for 48 minutes. Mm-hmm. And was able to come back and win that game.
We've talked about everybody, the role players like Okongwu. I mean, he makes the most of his time on the court. But Lou, it seems to me like Lou was the spark plug for you last night. And having Lou on the court with Trey, are we going to see more of that coming up tomorrow night?
If it's necessary, you will. We've really, you know, gotten off to slow starts in the last three games. You know, we're averaging about 20, 21 points a game in the first quarter. And, you know, so the ball is not falling for us in that first quarter defensively. You know, they're coming out and attacking and able to score pretty efficiently. And we tend to settle into the game the second half and you know, find our rhythm and start to make some shots. And last night, you know, Lou was the guy. You know, he got hot in that second half, midway through the third quarter and into the fourth. And the combination of Trey and Lou was a lineup we haven't seen a lot of, but it worked out for us last night.
Yeah, we closed the game on an 18-0 run. I mean, it's just it was really incredible to watch. It's Nate McMillan, guys, Hawks head coach, game six tomorrow at State Farm Arena. Coach, Hawks fans want to know, and I'm curious as well, the difference between game four at halftime and then what you said in game five at halftime, because it was very similar situations. Mm-hmm. Was the messaging the same? Did you yell? I mean, because Hawks fans are like, what is Nate saying at halftime?
It was a little bit of all of that. It was a little bit of all of that. You know, I knew we could play better. They knew that we could play better. And, you know, so really a lot didn't need to be said. You know, we do show video at the half. We show our guys, you know, some sets and some plays that happened during the first half. So they see that. They see themselves at halftime. And, you know, so a lot didn't need to be said. You know, one thing that I did say to them, we've been here before. You know, we've been in this position before where we've been down. And, you know, we have to go out and establish ourselves right away on both ends of the floor. And, you know, hopefully that, you know, those shots will start to fall for us, because we had good looks in that first half. Those shots just wasn't falling for us, falling for our shooters. And the second half, I thought the defensive intensity certainly picked up, and those shots started to fall for us. And you know, the fourth quarter was where we really got hot, and it started with Lou. But we have been there before. You know, we were down 13 in game four at halftime, and found a way to win that game. And being down 22 last night, you know, it was a little deeper hole for us, but it was a lot of time on the clock, and we knew what we needed to do.
Did you tell Trey to just be more aggressive and go to the basket, or was it just the flow of the game when things started to get closer?
That's always the message to Trey. So it wasn't so much, you know, telling Trey that at the half. You know, that's our game plan. You know, that's how we play. You know, we feed off of his energy and establishing that tempo. You know, so being aggressive is just part of our game, one of the keys to our game. And I thought we was able to get to that. I thought we had a pretty fast tempo in the first half. We just wasn't making shots.
Right.
You know, so the difference in that was second half we started to make shots.
Nate McMillan here with us, guys. I don't expect you to say it, so I'll say it. Simmons was terrible from the line. But you decided to intentionally foul him early in the game. I think it was in the second quarter. Was that simply to just slow things down? I mean, because whatever it was, I mean, obviously by the end of the game, he was 4-for-14 from the free throw line. But the timing of that, when you started to do that, was that just so maybe we could get into a rhythm?
I mean, that's just part of the strategy. When you see opportunities to take advantage of a situation like that, you try to use it. You know, we were down big. They were scoring. We were not. We were down, I think, 20, maybe 20 plus points at that time, and trying to slow down their rhythm. There was an opportunity given to us to use to send Ben to the free throw line. So we used that.
It is Nate McMillan, guys. Hawks coach doing a fantastic job this year. I mean, from where we were in February to now where we are rolling, it's just been such an exciting season, coach. One thing, though, we got to get somebody on Seth Curry. Is that just a matter of how they're rotating, setting their picks? Because he had some open looks, and that cat wasn't missing last night.
Yeah, well, they got great players. I mean, they're the number one, the best team in the East this season, and they were the best team for a reason. You know, Seth can put the ball in the hole. You have Embiid, who does a great job of, forcing double teams, which a lot of times, you know, the rotation is the last man that is receiving the ball is Seth. He can knock those shots down. What they tried to do last night was make our guards work a little harder, mm-hmm. Tried to make Trey work harder on the defensive end of the floor. So they really ran a lot more pin down sets to force Trey to have to work on the defensive end of the floor as opposed to allowing him to rest defensively and have all that energy for the offensive end of the floor. So they went at him in our guards with Korksmus and Seth coming off screens and making those guys work on the defensive end of the floor.
Coach, how hard are closeout games? I know we're at home. I know it's going to be electric. As a player, you've been a part of these kinds of moments. How hard are these game sixes where you're up 3-2?
Well, I mean, they're always hard because this team now is, you know, it's do or die for them. You know, it's win or go home for them. So we know they're going to come out with, you know, they're going to just come out with a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to leave everything on the floor. And we have to do the same thing. We have to come out with that same type of urgency, be solid, you know, make them earn everything that they get and not give up anything easy to give them any type of confidence. But they're going to come out and leave everything out on the floor. They have to because it's do or die, you know, for them. And, you know, I expect our guys to come out with that same type of urgency.
It is Coach Nate McMillan, guys, as we're getting ready for Friday night here at right here on 92.9 The Game. Those MLK jerseys really are the charm, Coach. Can't wait to see those on Friday. Hey, one thing we just talked about earlier this hour, the hard foul that I don't know if the ref saw it, where it's like Embiid literally tried to tackle John Collins. Is that something you mentioned to somebody in the front office to talk to the league about, or you just say something to refs, or it is what it is?
Yeah, I mean, all Embiid's fouls are going to be hard. He's a big man. And, you know, so if we see situations where we feel, you know, a player is doing something illegal or, you know, trying to injure a player, you know, those are plays that we can send in to the league. And we are, you know, after every game, we chart those types of players. And I mean, so plays and we send plays into the league. So, I mean, if we feel the guys out there being dirty or setting illegal screens or doing some things that the officials are not seeing, we have the opportunity to send those into the league.
Nate, how do we get off to a faster start? To your credit, you've changed the starting lineup. You've changed some rotational stuff. I mean, do we need to change the music in the locker room before the game starts? What do we need to do to get off to a better start?
Make some shots. You know, we shot 31%. We shot 31% in the first half. And 25 from the three. So we need to get stops defensively, but we need to make shots. And I thought we had a lot of good looks, and the ball just wasn't falling for us in that first half. So we need to make some shots. You know, certainly get stops. I think it definitely starts on the defensive end of the floor. They were hot coming out as well, you know, we made shots. I think the first few possessions was going back and forth, and then it just, you know, a lid covered the basket for us, and we just couldn't make anything, and they continued to be efficient with their scoring. So I mean defensively established ourselves, make it harder on them, we need to make shots, you know.
Right. And I know you got to run, Coach, but how excited, how proud are you of the effort John Collins has put in, especially the energy he brought two nights ago and the way he was just such a big part of the comeback last night?
John has been great. You know, all of our guys have been really good. You know, we've had guys to step up and do some special things really throughout these playoffs. And, you know, it's a different guy, it seems like, every night. But John has been you know, really consistent in these playoffs with his play. I think he had really one night where, you know, things didn't go well for him, and that was back in the New York series when he got into foul trouble. But he's just been consistent on both ends of the floor, not only, you know, scoring the ball for us, but defensively came up with a big block shot last night, and, you know, some offensive rebounds, those hustle plays that we always talk about. You know, those are things that he's bringing to the table, which become really huge for us. So he's been consistent with that really all season long, and certainly during these playoffs.
Nate, good luck. Let's go get this thing. We appreciate your time today, as you've always been generous coming on with us. And go Hawks, man. Appreciate you.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, man. More on the Hawks. You heard Coach there. So there was a little bit of cussing and fussing, but at the end of the day, guys responded at halftime, and that's what it's all about. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Note, N-O-T-E. Right, Philly fans, a note today. What would you say? Chokers. Note is the word. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Ben Simmons cannot be your point guard, and neither can George Hill.
Hey, Carl. I just can't believe Puffy K got through Philadelphia radio to make those comments. Hey, man, don't forget, guys, note, bet a C-note on these Hawks. Let's get some confidence, baby. Send that to 72881. We've already given away $3,000 on all shows, mornings, afternoons, middays. You could be next, man. Note to 72881.
All right, coming up, he could change the franchise around. We've got some NFL news and notes to get to. NFL Blitz is next.
Hey, hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. If you missed Coach Nate, who just joined us, talking about the Hawks, the comeback win, and more, we'll replay that for you a little bit later on in the show. Stick around. He had some really interesting things to say about this team and where we're at right now. Tomorrow night, Game 6 at State Farm Arena. Mike, I think I may have told you this. I got a buddy. He's a big Tom Brady fan. Last year, pandemic, he got tickets before the pandemic happened, and he was all excited about being able to go to these games, and he doesn't even live in Tampa. And the irony is, obviously, that didn't happen with coronavirus and everything that was going on with the NFL. So now you fast forward, they win the Super Bowl, and they are sold out for every game this season. And it's funny because I just saw this, and he had sent me a deal a few weeks back saying, got my tickets, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And now you see this, that they're sold out for every game, preseason, everything, full capacity in Tampa. It'll be that way, I think, in most places by the time we roll around the football season. But no surprise, right?
Right. Used to be one of the easier tickets. That's the cool thing about our division. The only one you always had a hard time going on the road for was the Saints to get those tickets. You could drive up to Charlotte on game day and get a ticket for like $40. I've done it.
What are you trying to say about Charlotte?
They're the most phoniest fans. They fade. They're worse than anything you can anywhere in the world. They fade in, fade out. But no, Tampa Bay, you know, it's one of those cities that doesn't have disposable income because it's so much based on the service industry and retirees and all that. But they're going to be making some money now if you got those season tickets. Prices went up. The Glazers obviously saw that, you know, supply and demand, so they raised the prices. But it's just great to see that we're going to have people back in the stands. And, again, here in the Mercedes-Benz, we still have one of the best stadiums in the country. So excited to be going down here on Sunday for United. But nothing like it, man. And now, guess what, bro? I'm still saying Tampa Bay is the odds on. I know it's cliched. It's easy. I said it last year. I totally lost faith in them right before they beat us in what was it, week like 13 or 14. But the band is back together, Carl. Barring an injury to the GOAT, and they've added some depth in some key areas, I don't see anybody stopping those guys.
This is going to be harder than last year, not because I'm saying it. It's always harder to repeat. It doesn't happen often. I think you have to go back to the early 2000s, the New England teams that did it, and that was Brady, obviously. And so that gives you maybe some confidence if you are a Tampa fan to say, or you think they can do this again. But it's always harder the second time around. So
right.
I'm with you. I think you have to have them as the odds-on favorite, especially in our division and coming out of the NFC. But with that said, it's going to be a much more difficult task. Right. I really believe that.
No, I mean, like you said, but it's – if anything, the only reason I'm doubling down on them is, even though Tom Brady is the GOAT, and even though Bruce Arians, we think, is like one of the best guys to ever dress out, it took them a while. It took a while for Tom Brady to get a handle on that offense, and when he finally did, you know, the rest is history. The Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, everybody's got their favorites in each conference, but to me, I mean, who you buying? The Packers? We don't even know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play this year. That's true. The big question for me. That's the big threat to Tampa Bay. I mean, there's a lot of great teams in the West. Hey, we might surprise some folks. Still not sure about Washington. I mean, you start to go process of elimination, right? But to me, if they can handle the injuries, they're going to be right back there.
Speaking of Mahomes and Brady, they are on the cover of the new Madden game. So it's the first time since 2010 that they've had two guys on the cover. Mm. So that's going to be your new Madden cover. If you're a Madden guy, that's going to be the new cover.
Yeah, so MVP edition. Yeah, MVP edition.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. I got to give him credit. I mean, Brady's already been on there. So was Mahomes. But this is the first time they've done, again, the two quarterbacks. It's Duke Sabelis, our NFL Blitz. I don't know what to make of Zach Wilson. This is the new quarterback for the Jets. But even at minicamp, I think it was rookie camp, he was getting a lot of love with his leadership and how vocal he was being. And he's now said he wants to get the guys together, his wide receiving core, before camp. So Jets owner Woody Johnson wants fans to have faith that the team is heading in the right direction. They may have found their leader on the field, Mike.
Everybody seemed to like this guy and all the, you know, all the story. Remember, you and I were like, I don't see it. Remember, you and I were trying to poke holes in Zach. He's got a super quick release, super athletic. Yes. Does he look like a guy who might have been a creep in the Cobra Kai? Perhaps. But, hey, these are the things you do to gain that locker room, to gain that respect. And maybe with Robert Saleh, they finally got the right coach. This was a guy I was interested in for the Falcons. I think he definitely gets it. I think he's a guy that, only the, you know, time will tell. But you, after, you know, some of the meatheads like Adam Gase they've had in this organization, this guy's kind of a breath of fresh air. And perhaps Zach Wilson will be the right guy. They never wavered. There was never any drama. We always knew the Jets were going to go this way. And so far, he's, you know, at least in what he's doing preseason, he's backing it up.
Baker Mayfield, believe it or not, I want you to hear what he says about a new contract. The fifth-year option has been picked up, right? So he goes to playoffs for the first time last year. A lot of people think the Browns are loaded, and they are, and they're going to have a real shot to get to the Super Bowl as well. But here's what he said about the contract situation.
I'm in no rush because I'm just trying to win games, and like I said, it'll handle itself. I'm sure Tom and Jack Mills are handling that. I don't try and feed too much into that because, you know, that's like wasting my time, energy, and thought process on stuff that I'm not in control of right now. So I'm going to handle what I can control.
That sounds like a mature Baker Mayfield.
Some of us. Now, I didn't grow up till I was 45. So, I mean, maybe he is finally getting it together. And, you know, Odell Beckham apparently looks to be, like, in fantastic shape. They've got the best, you know, arguably some of the best skill position players in the league. So, I mean, maybe there's your dark horse, brother, to build on that huge win over the Steelers. And, again, just getting in the playoffs was huge for Cleveland. So, yeah, man, I'll bet on to come with that. Hey, we spent a lot of time yesterday, you and I, talking about vaccinations, players who haven't been vaccinated, the media asking players about it, and how the NFL and, you know, Mike Zimmer's no different, saying, look, guys, if you get vaccinated, your life is going to be a hell of a lot easier. No one's going to be sticking, you know, gigantic Q-tips up your nose every day. It'll be every 2 weeks. Well, the reason I bring it up is there's a story, Carl, in Pro Football Talk. Sean Payton says he's confident the team's going to hit 85% of vaccinated players. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Albert Breer says that the Saints are one of the two teams that have 85%. The other one is the Dolphins right now.
We got time before camp and before the season starts. My guess is now that this memo came out yesterday, you're going to see more guys get it.
Right.
And there may be a bunch of guys who already have it that we're not aware of, but I think you're going to see more guys get it. If it was me, okay, and whether I'm a star in the league or I'm a mediocre guy, average guy, it doesn't matter, and I'm looking at the freedoms that I'm going to have during the season versus what I went through last year, and everything is pretty much identical to what I went through last year, if I don't get it, I'm getting it. I mean, unless there's some medical reason you can't, and Mike, again, the teams will work that out, but I think you're going to see a lot of guys around the NFL decide to do it. Hey, we were talking about Tom Brady. Belichick says was asked about whether he congratulated Brady on the Super Bowl. Mike, he didn't answer that question, but he did answer a question about evaluating his rookie class.
I think those things will happen naturally and run their course. I think right now, all of our rookies need to really focus and concentrate on becoming a professional football player, making that commitment in all the areas that they need to make it in, learning the plays, the playbook, the techniques that go with the plays, the adjustments that go with the plays, and be ready to execute their assignments and their job.
Now, as far as Brady is concerned, the question from the reporter was, I was wondering if he reached out to Tom Brady after the offseason to congratulate him on winning the Super Bowl. Brady's response, or Belichick that is, I think I'll keep those conversations privately between myself and the other people that are involved. Appreciate the question. Did he call him? Did he text him?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one, man. But Belichick's in midseason form, isn't he?
He really is, man. I mean, it's like, why not? You won what, 5-6 Super Bowls with this guy? I mean, come on. I don't even know why this is a big deal. Why can't Belichick just go, of course I did. He was my quarterback for 20 years. Right. Why not?
I don't know. Maybe there's some hurt feelings there. I don't know. Not sure. Find out. Hey, man, Falcons, by the way, signing dudes because we got money, Carl, to do it. Darren Hall, who we had on the show, and Drew Dahlman, who we had on the show, signed today. Leaving only 2 of the 9 picks unsigned. I thought Kyle Pitts' contract was a done deal, but I guess that's still not been worked out. It was supposed to be, if you project what they're going to look for number 4, it's about 4 years, $32.9 million. Basically, everything's kind of structured, 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera. But the only guys that they haven't worked it out yet, Kyle Pitts and Richie Grant, dare I say, and this is just a guess, the 5th year is probably the sticking point for Pitts.
Guarantee, yeah, probably. Yeah, but it's going to get done, Falcon fans. That's not a worry. It's just not done yet, but I agree with you, Mike. It's probably the reason why. So how many guys now signed out of our 7?
Everybody but the 2, Richie Grant from UCF and, of course, the big man Pitts.
Yeah, and those are the top 2 picks in this particular class. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, we're going to get back into the Hawks coming up. Again, if you missed Coach Nate McMillan, he stopped by to talk with us about last night's win. It was just incredible. And you know, I said last night, this is, if we win this series, this will be the biggest and most unbelievable comeback in Atlanta sports history. Right. We've been on the other end of this. Yeah. We've been trolled a lot when it comes to this kind of stuff. And that's fine. But that comeback last night and to pull it off and win, because that was the other part, Mike. When it got closer, we were tied, and I'm like, we can't come back this far and not finish the deal. Right. And that's what makes Trey so amazing, man. The identity of this team, the character of this team, we know what it is now.
It's clutch. I mean, it's clutch. Now, again, as Nate said, I could do without looking like absolute hot garbage for the first half. It's just exactly what we looked like. But we came back and we showed some toughness. We showed mental toughness, resiliency. And it's rare that we put mental toughness and resiliency in a sentence. I mean, I even heard, I had my headphones on during the commercial break, and I heard even Jim Rome had to take a shot. And to blow a lead against an Atlanta team, you know, I mean, that's, I get it. Yes, we're always going to have the stigma of the Super Bowl and everything else. But this is a team you can be proud of. This is a team that has a guy who is a superstar, and he's going to be here forever. Right, Carl? He's never leaving us because Tony Resch is going to lock all these guys up. Schlenk's process is working. I was on the fence about Collins. Give that man his money. I'm a prisoner of the moment, and everybody gets paid right now.
All right, man. We got Yeah Man, No Man coming up. I got a message for Brian Snicker and more on these amazing Hawks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk about what's going on with one college football program that might be in trouble for breaking the rules. Find out what program it is. Also, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to open up the phones. I want to hear from you, Hawks fans. I know you're feeling good. I know you're excited. I know you've been telling everybody about what happened last night. We want to know what you're feeling and what you're thinking. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour around 4:20, so stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. All right, Bo, what is going on this beautiful day in the ATL?
I'm like you guys. I'm probably running on adrenaline because I got so worked up last night. I couldn't even speak. I got my phone's blowing up. My neighbor right across the street and down one, Bristow, he's texting me the whole game. He's a big Hawks fan, big basketball guy, and he's like, I'm pacing. I can't sit down. And I said, dude, if we win this game, I'm not going to be able to sleep for like 2 hours. We've got to have some beers. We've got to take the edge off. So we're out there having like midnight beers in the driveway. Because we were just unbelievable what happened. It was just unbelievable, guys.
It really was. And I think, you know, I wish I could have saw some kind of meter that would have shown what was going on around the city. I wish we would have had like drone coverage or something around the city to see people's reaction and how, you know, a lot of people went from being literally asleep and just kind of nonchalant to being excited and in the moment and, you know, lights coming on and more TVs popping on and more computers and all that kind of stuff. Because I think you would have saw an amazing thing happen with this kind of comeback. Because again, to Mike's point, as we started the show today, we didn't play at all. We didn't play well at all in the first half. We just didn't. And things were not going our way. But didn't mean they quit, and it didn't mean that we quit. But as the things started to get closer and closer, Mike, I wish we could have some kind of metric system to show us, because I think it would have been really cool to see how people were reacting last night.
Yeah, I know that I was losing my mind, and we're watching outdoors, and we're screaming. I don't know. I can't speak for the rest of the neighborhood in my subdivision, Carl, as far as who's watching the Hawks, but it was just unreal. You and I were texting back and forth because Carl had to talk me off the ledge when we were down 26. I'm like, my God, we can't do anything. A disaster. We're such a hot mess in the half court. It was, and then also, Bo, just to double down on it, because it was Philadelphia, because their fans who talk so much jive are the worst fans out there. You know, it was sweeter. You know what I mean? And let's just hope, again, we can't let them wriggle off the hook. We got to keep the heat on. I think that State Farm Bo is going to be off the chain on Friday night. I think this is going to be the greatest, arguably the greatest atmosphere to a Hawks game ever. Not to throw some hyperbole in there, Carl, but I just think it's going to be so lit.
Yeah, I wish it could be there. I'm not going to be able to make it, but, man, it's just going to be unbelievable. Do you guys – real quick, because I'm a fan, true fan of, I've grown up here, but I've always been this way, especially in these series like in baseball and basketball, and they go 6 or 7. I hate the Sixers. Like, not like just, oh, I'm okay. No, I can't stand Embiid. I'll never like him again. I can't stand Simmons. I've always liked Tobias Harris. Forget him, too. Like, do you guys do that, though, over a series? You just grow to really have disdain, like true disdain for the other players?
Yeah, I think it depends on, you know, like Mike has pointed out with the Embiid, and we asked Coach about this, about, you know, what we perceive as being dirty, right? A little on the edge when you're trying to take a guy out. It looks like that, and then he tries to play it off because he's so big, and, oh, I'm clumsy, and I'm on the floor, and I'm falling down. Right. But you could hurt somebody. When you see those things, you know, it does kind of get under your skin. Embiid last night, and listen, again, he's a great player, okay? But when he's going off and he's in the zone and then he's pointing his finger and talking crap to Clint, you know, those moments, it's like, dude, act like you've been there. Get your crowd hype. Do what you need to do to get your people involved. But, you know, the whole pointing the finger and trying to go at our guy when he's just trying to defend you, it does make you dislike him. And Bo, I agree with you. It's those little moments through the course of a series where you start to go, you know what, he's a jerk. And you start to go the other way.
Well, I mean, to me, and I got the video up, Carl's got it too, he's going for it would be a 15-yard penalty in the NFL the way he went after John Collins. I mean, it's John Collins in a contract year, and you're going after his knees. I mean, to me, Joel Embiid is just the worst of the worst because he always wants it his way. He's going to sit there and flop and pull his crap, and then he'll wink to somebody on the sideline. You know it's all a bunch of gamesmanship. I mean, to be that big and be that, you know, massive – and to pull that crap on a guy like Collins, to me, a regular season game is getting thrown out. These refs, I don't know what was going on. I asked Nate about it. I don't think Nate Carly wanted to put any more gas on that fire, but
yep.
He did say there is, you know, if there's something they don't like, they will send it to the league. But Squid, John Collins could be out of this series the same way the Knicks gooned up DeAndre Hunter.
Well, go back to the 2014-15 Hawks with Dellavedova. He did it to two guys, and that was exactly what it was like. By the way, I thought Capella punched him when I watched it live, because all you see is Capella's arm and a 6'11 dude goes flying through the air. They showed the replay, appalled.
Yeah, because he flopped.
If the NBA said they were going to cut down on this, and they have not, because this guy is not getting his wallet has not been hit at all with the garbage he's done. But I wanted to ask a question, another question about the series. Doc Rivers now has blown six double-digit leads in like the last, I think, 2 or 3 years in the playoffs. Six. Mm. The next person on the list has one. Budenholzer's on there, is one of the guys that's on there. He only won with the original Big Three in this era in 2008. Then he lost a title, I think, in 2010,
Lakers.
I believe.
Yep, Lakers, Kobe.
Is he the most overrated coach in the NBA and possibly the history of the league?
So I think if they lose this series, and I know he just got there and he just signed a new deal, mm-hmm. But this was supposed to be the piece to get you over the top. The coach that was going to come in and have the championship pedigree, to your point, Bo, and get the team over the top, to get the people to buy in. So what do? They clinch the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and have the best record through the season. And everybody says this is working. Now you get in the playoffs, and this is when the criticism starts. Because, again, I always say, these legacies and all this stuff we talk about, let's see what happens in the playoffs. Doc has not been great in the playoffs, his track record, even though he's a championship coach. So when you look at that one season in 08, it was special, KG and Pierce and Rondo. But then you look beyond that, and Mike, this is why he got it with the Clippers.
Well, I mean, I always defended Doc because I think there's such a bunch of head cases. That's what made the Paul George, you know, stepping up last night so extraordinary, especially based on his track record in the playoffs where he's disappeared. But, yeah, this is one that – now, here's the deal, though. It made sense, Carl, to pull Embiid because of his knee situation.
Correct.
When you've got that lead, I mean, as much as, you know, Doc is going to get heat, Bo, it's just, it was the smart play. You're up by 26. The Hawks can't hit anything. You guys can't miss. Damn knows Curry. I asked Nate about it. Curry couldn't miss. So it's not the wrong play. It's the right play. But his team just blew it. And do you guys both agree? I'll just flip it back on you guys. You do, as an athlete, when you think the game is in hand, and now you've got to get back in there. You know, maybe you've loosened up the braces on your knee, right? Maybe you've cooled down, and now you got to get back into character, as Jules Winfield would say. They couldn't do it.
Hold on, I want to, because I like these conversations sometimes. I know I'm supposed to be asking just more questions, but Dan Quinn's teams had the DNA of blowing leads. Doc Rivers' teams, not just in Philly, but in L.A. and in Boston, they blew leads. That's what they did. That is his DNA as a head coach. Mm. His teams blow leads in the playoffs. That's what they do. And by the way, Embiid is almost – he's played 36 or more minutes in every game this series. So and Rivers even put him in Game 3 in Atlanta when they were up like 15. They're blowing us out. Remember he goes in and does the I'm going to fall down act, mm-hmm. trying to get a call?
Well, I mean, but again, but Ben Simmons is a mental midget, Carl. These are the things you and I were talking about before we even played the Sixers. I mean, that's how do you coach a guy who won't even take a jump shot?
Well, you're trying to play to his strengths. We've said this, and his strengths are slashing, creating off the dribble, and his vision, his passing. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great free throw shooter, and he's not a guy that off the dribble can create his own shot in a way that, let's just say, a Trey or Steph Curry, pick your guy, Kawhi, it doesn't matter. Paul George, he's not that. So they're trying to play to his strengths. The problem is, though, last night they really needed him to score in the fourth quarter. And when you decide in your mind that you're only going to take four shots, okay, because shooters and scorers don't have that mentality. Ask Lou Will. Lou Will will shoot 30 times in a game if you let him, because that's his nature. That's his mentality. I'm going to score, and I'm going to keep scoring until you stop me. That's not Simmons' mentality. So it's his mentality that's screwing the team, and it's screwing what's going on with how they're trying to do things.
Hey, but the other thing is, remember Game 3, they came out with that intensity, Carl? the physicality. We talked about how physical they were and how he was just using that athleticism to get to the basket. They couldn't summon that up after they were on the bench. They couldn't get back. The only guy that was worth the damn was Curry.
Yeah, right. But you have to have that in you, Mike. That's my point.
No, but he doesn't. He just plain old. No. You see his facial expressions. Like I said, he literally looks like a kid who farted in church. He looks so uncomfortable.
Hey, yeah. You know what? That's true. But when the game was on the line, he wasn't the one on the free throw line that missed two shots while
Marstar
made him. Chris, yeah. Hit my music.
Chokers. Chokers, man. I'm with you, Bo. Good stuff. Coming up, we're going to talk some college football. One program could be in real trouble. 420, we're going to open up the phone lines to you. I want to hear from you, Atlanta. 404-741-0929, and I want to know how you're feeling about this series now. And it's okay if you go, well, I didn't think we were going to win. Because you know what? Two games ago, a lot of people felt that way. Game four, we're down at half. You're thinking, oh, I know. And last night, we came back from 26. But we are in command of this series now. We're going to talk to you coming up here at 420. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.